In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light!
Hello everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Green Lantern's Light. My name is Michael Bradley.
I am J. David Weider.
And I am Jeffrey Taylor.
And I know that technically we just started the show, and in fact you haven't even heard our first episode of regular coverage yet, but we're giving you guys a little treat. Last Saturday, November 11th, 2011, Cartoon Network aired the one-hour premiere of Green Lantern, the animated series. So we thought we'd get together and talk about it and share our thoughts. We aren't planning on doing regular coverage of the show, or of the series here on the show, but since it was the debut and the first animated series based solely on Green Lantern, we thought it would be fun to talk about it a little bit.
If the series continues to be good, we could always, you know, fold a little discussion into the show, but yeah. It would be hard to stay topical on it as well with a monthly podcast that we record ahead of time, but oh well.
Before we get too much into it, just as a heads up, there will no doubt be heavy spoilers for the premiere throughout this episode, and probably information that's been leaked about upcoming episodes, too. So if you haven't seen it and don't want to be spoiled, come back later.
it's funny. A lot of people probably were doing other things because it was 11-11-11, which is a great promotion in and of itself, which happened to be on a Friday of all days. And so everything and its mother came out on 11-11-11.
Yeah.
Including Henry Cavill's Immortals, which is the number one movie the weekend that we are recording this.
My boss saw it and said that it was good, you know, mindless fun.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but he has terrible taste in film, so I have no idea.
Okay.
But the pilot's title was Beware My Power, and I'm going to read a synopsis that I got from Wikipedia. I don't know who wrote it, but major credit to whoever typed it out and stuck it up there. It says, Ace test pilot Hal Jordan, who leads a secret life as Earth's guardian Green Lantern, is called back to Oa. Searching for the culprits behind a series of Green Lantern deaths in Frontier Space, Hal and his gruff fellow Green Lantern Kilowog commandeer the Interceptor, a prototype spaceship powered by pure Green Lantern energy, and an advanced artificial system that Hal names Aya. Hal and Kilowog discover that a group of Red Lanterns, including the conflicted Razor and the vile Zelias Zox, have been targeting and eliminating Green Lanterns in Frontier Space. Along with the help from a surviving Frontier Space Green Lantern, Shea Rev, Hal and Kilowog must stop the Red Lantern leader, Atrocitus, from destroying Shear's home planet of Colony 12. In the end, Shear sacrifices himself to allow Kilowog to save the inhabitants of the world, who are resettled on a new world named Rev, while a repentant Razor is captured by Jordan while attempting suicide by Lantern. With Aya's drive system damaged and requiring 9 months to self-repair, Kilowog and Jordan set out to stop the Red Lanterns themselves while debating what to do with the captive Razor.
And you just saved yourself an hour by listening to that.
No, but it was worth watching. Yes. It really was.
It was. No, I'm not downplaying. I actually really enjoyed the episode.
What were your expectations?
Low.
Okay, I'm being honest. Yeah, same here.
To be honest, they were very low. I mean, I had seen a couple clips online, and I just wasn't, you know, going in with high expectations. But and that could be why I enjoyed it so much. But I think it was really fun.
I generally go into these sorts of things with low expectations, and it is one of those. It's a Saturday morning cartoon, which I remember loving Saturday morning cartoons when I was a kid. But as I got older, you know, most of the stuff that I actually see on, if I happen to be up on a Saturday morning and near a TV that has cable, which I don't at my house, I don't like most of the stuff that I'm seeing anyway.
No, it's lost the fun factor that was there when we were kids.
Exactly. And so for something like this, but it is still Bruce Timm, and I give him tons and tons of credit for the sheer amount of stuff that he does and how well he does almost all of it.
Yeah, I need to have more faith in Bruce Timm, honestly.
I got to interview him a couple of years ago when Justice League The New Frontier was coming out.
Cool.
Another good movie.
And it was a very exciting time. Oh, yeah, I interviewed him and Darwin Cook and the director. And I also got to interview I'm blanking on his name. I know it, too. Phil Morris.
Oh, okay.
Who played Martian Manhunter on Smallville.
Yeah.
Who is also a huge Superman fan and one of the coolest, nicest guys ever. I talked to him for like an hour. Huh. But, yeah, Bruce Timm is really, really good at what he does. And he's involved in almost all of the DC animated the features, the various series. Sometimes he's more involved than others. I don't know exactly how much involved he was with this particular project.
He's credited as executive producer.
Okay.
So whatever that means.
He's right, exactly. He's on the business side of things.
So, well, he probably is involved with some of the creative as well. I mean, he generally tends to be, but it's a question of how much. And for him, he can pick and choose which ones he really wants to be involved with or in some cases maybe really needs to be involved with. But really, all that we can do at this point is judge the pilot and not the series as a whole or even the season. And the pilot, I thought, was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, when I first saw the designs, I thought, this is going to be terrible. Why are they doing it with this really over-the-top CG? It was kind of the same reaction I had to early shots of Batman the Animated Series back in 1992, when it was just, why does Batman look like that? Why is nothing proportionate? And, you know, that turned out to be phenomenal. It became the standard.
Yeah, and the designs in this show, in the Green Lantern show, well, for one thing, Hal Jordan is very bulky. He's very muscular. He's got a huge torso, which is one of those things that seems to happen in these sort of CG things. Again, they're not even trying to go for realism, no. So it does not take as much time as, say, like, you know, Final Fantasy The Spirit Within or Star Wars, even, where they really are trying to meld real – well, in Star Wars' case, they're melding real-world stuff with the CG. So it's not even trying to do that, and that's fine because it's still animated. It requires a lot less detail and, frankly, a lot less work because it's the detail that really takes forever as far as my understanding of it goes. The only designs in the episodes that I saw that I really didn't care for were the Guardians.
Yeah, they looked wooden. I mean, literally, they looked like wooden puppets.
They had gorilla noses.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
No, I mean, I'm serious. They had like the somewhat slanted, slotted nostrils on a flat face.
True.
They were made to look like gorilla faces, and that's just not the way that I see them. Now, I mean, I'm happy with the Guardians the way that they're drawn usually in the comics. I even kind of dug what they did with the movie, where they really did make, you know, take some liberties and say, look, we're doing fully CG aliens here. We need to give them some sort of a cool design, and they changed it. And I was willing to buy into that. This one, it was the only design that really bugged me.
Yeah, overall. I thought Kilowog was a little off, but in comparison to how he looked in the movie, it was more. I prefer this over how he looked in the movie.
Yeah, again, when you're kind of flattening those kinds of things out and pulling away from having too much detail, that's the Kilowog that you end up with, I guess.
Yeah.
And, I mean, similar with Tomar Rhee, who just had a brief appearance. just very little detail. And I think that when the artists take the time to put a little extra detail into it, that that's a big part of what sells the character on the page of the comic. And that's not what this was trying to do. So some of the aliens are going to come off just being a little bit off, I guess.
At times – oh, sorry. Go ahead, David.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say at times – I thought the style felt like it was lacking too much detail. It almost came off kind of blocky, like it was an animatic or something. And that's the part I wasn't crazy about.
Well, fair enough.
But I think the basic style is fine. The basic designs are fine. It was just at times they could have put a little bit more detail in stuff.
True. Although I will say everything moved fluidly.
Oh yeah, it was very fine structurally, and the animation was very fine. Yeah.
So the Guardians, did anybody else think of like Nibbler on Futurama with the Guardians? Just since we're still on that subject, okay. No, I mean it's one of those things where like, oh, they're just cute and furry and cuddly, and how I think of the Guardians at all.
Although when the ship first appeared, my first reaction was, oh, okay, there's obviously going to be a toy line.
there will be toys, yes.
And it's cool how they were playing with the idea that since Hal is a pilot when he's on Earth, that he would get a kick out of this fast ship.
Yeah.
And it's also really cool how the ship is interactive with the ring.
Yes.
And like it's a battery in itself, too.
Yeah, and you can take the ring, put it into the console, create a construct that's outside the ship, but this is the first time I can think of where a Green Lantern really needs a ship and can't just fly under the power of the ring itself, because Earth is far from Oa.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's already almost to Frontierland, or, you know, at least halfway. So, you know, it takes 9 months for the ship to repair itself, but should we wait 9 months or should we head back, which would take approximately 9 hours?
Well, no, it would take 18 months to get, because weren't they out?
That's what they're trying to explain, but it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, it was a setup for an obvious setup for, you know, oh, well, look, we're trapped here. Now we can explore other plots.
Yeah, one last thing I want to say about the Guardians, though, before we move on, is that I like how Ganthet's already sort of a rebel.
Yeah.
Like, he encourages Hal, no, I shouldn't show you the ship, but here it is.
But we're just going to take the long way around.
We're just taking the long way around the scenic route. I'm sorry, but go ahead and move on from there.
My biggest problem with it was I'm not really sure who this is supposed to be aimed at. Because the story here in this hour premiere was pretty simplistic, which makes me think it was aimed at younger kids. But on the other hand, it was a little more violent than shows normally aimed at younger kids. I mean, it was rated PG for violence, which is the same as Young Justice, which makes me think it's for a slightly older audience.
But, well, I think it's straddling. It's trying to do the Batman the Animated Series thing and try to hit as much as it can, and Young Justice does the exact same thing.
Yeah, the opening setup was very brutal.
Yeah. For a show of this nature, I mean, I didn't think it was over the top, but
no, and you don't see death happening, but it's beyond implied. Shown just like the camera just turns a little bit, and then you see the ring fly off, and that's the beginning. I really did like how they started things off with Hal already having the ring. They didn't retell the origin story because the movie just came out.
Right.
And that's actually why I think that the animated series is really intended for older children, people in their teens probably, and of course older, who have seen the movie. Or at least are already familiar with it. You don't need to retell how Hal got the ring because we just had the movie.
Right.
And that's really the reason why the series was created, was to go along with the movie, which unfortunately did not do as well as people were hoping. But the series, I think, is meant to kind of continue on some of that story without trying to be Ryan Reynolds or something.
Right. Thank goodness.
Plus, Green Lantern First Flight was just a couple years ago, which did tell the origin, too, so...
Oh, well, you also had And Emerald Knights. This felt like it could have been a continuation of Emerald Knights, and I really liked Emerald Knights a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than First Flight, that's for sure. Nothing against First Flight in general. I thought really it was decent. I liked it better than the live action movie in a lot of ways. But I thought they tried to put way too much into that first movie, animated movie.
There was a lot in there, yeah. But it was basically taking the story of, I'm not going to talk about Green Lantern Secret Origin, but if you were to go back to Emerald Dawn 1 and 2, it basically takes both Emerald Dawn 1 and 2 and puts it into a 1-hour film.
Yeah.
Like the important bits, the highlights.
Yeah.
We don't have Hal Jordan, you know, drunk driving, hurting someone and going to jail.
But that wouldn't work well in a PG animated. Because would you want to answer that question from your kids?
Daddy, what's Green Lantern drinking?
Punch. It's yes. Wine punch.
And that's why you don't drink too much Hawaiian punch.
No, overall, I mean, it was a class act. I look forward to seeing the series, and I think if I'm thinking correctly, it's going to be a 1-hour block between that and Young Justice.
Is it going to be hour long episodes?
No, but half hour. It'll be half hour of Young Justice, half hour of this, and then the whole DC Nation thing.
Gotcha.
I thought all the characters seemed pretty spot on as far as their portrayal goes.
Yeah, nobody went way off book. Yeah. I could have done with more red vomiting, but clearly that's not going to happen.
I did think about that. I mean, in the beginning, they started off showing the red vomiting, but it looks as though they had that idea to go with it, and once they got a little bit into doing the episode, they just kind of let it go and said, you know, that's not – it works on the comic book page, and, well, even that's questionable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But in an animated setting, it's really not necessary.
No, and they did – if you noticed the energy constructs, they had more of a texture to them, more like flame or liquid. So I like that they did that to kind of substitute for the spewing blood.
Well, now their rings vomit blood instead. So we didn't get to see an opening theme.
No.
Or an opening, you know, the credit sequence, basically.
They did the same thing with Young Justice when they had that premiere. They didn't
it's normal.
The theme music till the second episode, I guess.
So we can't really talk about what the opening sequence is like or what the music is like as far as that is concerned.
Did either of you get a bit of a Star Trek Voyager vibe?
Yes, at the end when it turned out that they were going to be stuck in that part of space for an indeterminate amount of time. So, I mean, the only major Green Lanterns we're going to see for at least a while are Hal and Kilowog. I mean, unless other Green Lanterns somehow manage to show up, but then they would have to be able to give Hal and Kilowog a ride home.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that's kind of weird about that. I did have a couple of thoughts about like guest stars, like who could they have on? I would love to see Jon Stewart and Guy Gardner and Kyle Rayner, but I mean, if this is the way that they're going with it, they clearly are focusing on Hal, and I don't think that's going to happen. We're probably not even going to see that many other Green Lanterns unless they, you know, show up, which could happen. And on top of that, will there be other colors in the spectrum? And that did give me some pause for thought. Like, what other colors in the spectrum are we likely to see anytime soon? And the first one that comes to mind for me is the Indigo Lanterns. Since they're like a lost tribe anyway, they could be out there.
Oh, that's true.
And that would be very interesting. The other thing that if I had to give a prediction, I'm not saying, hey, here's what's going to happen. I'm just guessing here, spitballing. Based on the theme that what was that? The Red Lantern who got his ring taken in at the end. His name was Razor?
Razor, yeah.
Razor, okay. I think that if anything, Razor will not go back to being a Red Lantern. I think that because of the themes that he dealt with in the pilot, that he will become a Blue Lantern at some point.
Oh.
Because this whole thing was about hope, and in the end, the Green Lantern who died was like, no, but there's still hope. I think that's the groundwork that's been set there.
It's interesting you say that because the Wikipedia entry says that Saint Walker is going to show up at some point.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. And it also says that the producers have confirmed that it was requested that the character Sinestro not be used.
Really?
Yeah.
Just in this season or in the show as a whole?
It doesn't specify.
Okay. Oh, wow. It's possible that'll be something for a later season. But on the other hand, since we are dealing with other animated parts of Green Lantern, like we just had Emerald Knights, and we've had what was the first one called?
First Flight,
thank you. Since we just had that, and that one really showcased Sinestro, we just had the movie that showcased Sinestro, that there are other directions that they can go. And I'm not saying that Sinestro shouldn't be a part of it ever, but I kind of like that he won't be in the first season. It's not necessary.
True.
Yeah, I'd kind of...
It could also be in case there's going to be a sequel to the film.
Yeah, that's probably what it is, yeah.
So they don't give any sort of like a mid-story. They want him to come back and just be the Sinestro Corps Yellow Lantern. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I hope to see some more classic villains, but given the setup that they're stuck out in, you know, frontier space, I doubt we'll be seeing Hector Hammond or the Shark or whoever.
I was going to say, I can't wait to see the Shark.
Yeah. I mean, the multicolored corps have just been so heavily used in the comics for the last, I guess, almost five years now. So I'd like to see some more traditional villains, but, you know, we'll see.
I would definitely agree that traditional villains are a good way to go, but on the other hand, the spectrum of colors, it is a relatively new thing, but it's one of those things that as soon as it got going, I thought to myself, why did they never do this before?
Right.
Really?
This makes absolutely perfect sense. And a lot of the stories that came out of that were very good. But again, why didn't they come up with this before?
Because Geoff Johns wasn't writing it. I'll give props to Geoff Johns all day long for his Green Lantern. I'll rip his Superman era apart, but...
Except that Toyman issue.
That was actually a decent issue, yeah. A surprisingly good issue.
Now, a lot of these series do get canceled after just a couple of seasons. And this is one that, I mean, if they're going to do this whole thing in space for an indeterminate amount of time, I would like to see it last for maybe the season, maybe half a season, six episodes or so, but then move on. But again, a lot of these do get canceled after just a couple of seasons. And here's one where I really think it could benefit from going the distance and maybe doing four or five seasons.
Well, there's
and
enough
that,
there.
That sort of ends up being the cutoff date anyway.
Yeah, there's enough there that you can cull.
Absolutely.
I mean, multiple storylines. You could totally do a Sinestro Corps war down the road. But yeah, I do agree that, you know, this whole hanging out in space and frontier space – about a season is about all I want of that. Then I want to see some more of Oa, which I thought had an awesome design, by the way.
Yes, and eventually I would like to see Hal make it back to Earth.
Yes.
That is something that I definitely want to see. Whenever he does get back to Earth, there is that question of, you know, what other characters from the DC Universe can you have come into it to join him? And the only one that I can think of that I would really like to see, if any are brought in, is Green Arrow.
Yes. Oh, 100% yes. Plus, he needs a good showcase since Justice League Unlimited is no longer around.
Yes.
And I want – if it's anything like the short, I'm in 100%.
Oh, yes. The short that was on the Batman Under the Hood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that was really good. So, I mean, for a short. I really wanted more of that, though, and I like the idea that and I like him on Young Justice as well. He's got some great moments on there.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just like Green Arrow. I don't know.
I really like that we saw Hal out of costume doing the test pilot thing at the beginning of this episode. And I really liked the scenes between that showed the relationship between him and Carol. So bringing him back to Earth, if we could see more of that, that would be great.
Yes, and Carol does not know that he's Green Lantern.
Uh-uh.
Which is something that if this is meant to be spinning out of the film, they either ignored or decided to change.
True. I did like the plane crash. I thought that was done well because even though fans of Green Lantern knew he's gonna jack up that plane, it still played off really well on screen. Just blowing up behind him as he's relishing a small victory.
Yes, and at the end of the first half of the episode, when Hal and Kilowog are trying to save, I'm not going to remember his name, the fledgling Green Lantern from the outer sector. But anyway, though, when they're off trying to save him, Hal's ring goes dead because he didn't power it. And that's something that, you know, they do that to show that he still has, you know, that he's still fearless, still has his willpower, and can still do some fighting even without the ring against impossible odds. And that's okay, just don't try doing it every episode, because that'll get really old really fast.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I forgot to charge my ring. I probably should have done that before I knew I was going to go into battle. Although the charging moment was really cool, where he was trying to get back to the ship and charge it off the battery that's in the ship, and just said the oath as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
that was a kind of a cool moment.
Now, am I incorrect? Because I always thought the oath wasn't necessarily required.
It was earlier on, and the film set up that it was required.
Okay, just making sure.
I think eventually it just became one of those things that Green Lanterns tended to say once in a while for dramatic purposes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but oh well.
But I mean, if the film set it up, maybe they went with it because the film did.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, in a visual audio medium such as television, it makes sense.
Yeah, in fact, in the books that we've been reading and talking about, it seems as though he's been doing it every time that he goes to charge his ring.
Sure. Hey, whatever works for Hal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My favorite quote, this is when the ship is saying that it will take 9 months to fix the ship, and Hal says, well, can we create some sort of a construct? And the ship, Aya, says, well, it will require 5,700 billion moving parts that are all very specific. And so Hal looks at Kilowog and is like, do you think you can do that? And he's like, I make hammers.
But that actually became a problem for me, because Kilowog can do more than that. I think they're diminishing Kilowog's effectiveness to make Hal.
Well, I can still see him saying that. I mean, we've seen him do more than making hammers already. And I mean, a lot of what he does is being a tactician and a trainer. It's not to say that he's not capable of a lot more than that. He does do a lot of things. But I mean, he makes hammers. Hal makes fists.
Yeah,
sure.
There's not a whole lot that's very complicated. At one point, he made a drill. I mean, I don't think Jon Stewart could do what they're talking about, and he's the one who, like, all of his constructs make sense because he's an architect.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, I don't think they're really trying to diminish what Kilowog does. I think they're just trying to make a joke, and I thought it was a very effective joke.
Okay, well, but after
like,
that,
I had to stop and laugh out loud. My wife was like, "What?"
But after that, all he did was make hammers and a force field when he shaved. I gotta tell you, my wife, when he saved the planet, but I that segued. My wife and I watched this together. My wife was crying at the end of this when, I mean, I guess we're still in spoiler territory, when Shir Rev died.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I didn't cry, but she was, you know, tears coming down because of the little girl, and I thought that was effective storytelling. I think that was a Bruce Timm moment.
Yeah, I didn't actually have tears or anything, but what made me, you know, choke up for just a second was when the ring flew by.
Yeah.
Because there was no doubt. I mean, obviously he was going to die, and we knew that he was going to die. We didn't know that everybody else was going to get saved, but it almost seems like, you know, Kilowog saved everybody, and yay, this is a happy, joyous moment. And then the ring floats by.
Yeah. It was well done. And I like to watch my wife's reaction. And because she's not steeped in the lore. I mean, she knows a little bit about it, but it was fun to watch her, you know, kind of ask questions and get into the show. So I think this show will appeal to non-comic, non-Green Lantern fans, just as a standalone cartoon show.
So Green Lantern's Light gives thumbs up to the one-hour pilot?
Indeed.
Cool.
Absolutely. I hope that later episodes are at least as good.
Yeah. All right, well, that does it for this episode, and if I can get down to my notes. All right, the show is set to debut in the spring. I don't think they've actually announced an official date beyond that, but it'll be in the spring. And keep an eye on the Facebook page, because we'll probably post some notes when they actually when they actually do. But
are you serious? I did not know that it was not starting up like as a series right away.
No, they're doing what they did with Young Justice. Yeah. So come spring, you'll have to sit through 2 weeks of this same episode again, and then before you get to the new stuff. So for early adopters, we're kind of penalized. But
you've got to be kidding me! I didn't know that. I thought it was going to start right up. Ah. Okay, I hate the new Green Lantern series. Mark me down for that.
All right.
And the crickets are chirping.
Well, the next regular episode of the show, of this show, which will be out in about a week, so you don't have to wait until spring for that, but it will be the first with regular coverage, and we'll be looking at Green Lantern number 172, 173, and 174. So hope you come back for that. But until then, this is Michael Bradley.
This is J. David Weider.
And this is Jeffrey Taylor.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to another episode of Green Lantern's Light, hosted by Michael Bradley,
Jeffrey Taylor,
and J. David Weider. Show notes, past episodes, and other information about the show can be found at greenlanternslight.com. You can also subscribe to the show directly via the RSS feed and on iTunes.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, drop us a line to greenlanternpodcast@gmail.com or use the contact form at the website. You can also follow the show on Facebook and Twitter to get updates and interact with us directly. Let us know your thoughts, and we might even read your message on a future episode.
Green Lantern and all related elements are copyright DC Comics. We hope you've enjoyed this episode and that you'll come back next month. But until then,
in brightest day,
in blackest night,
no evil shall escape our sight.
Let those who worship evil's might
beware our power.
Green Lantern's light.